every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Welcome. You're listening to Sports Econ 101, the show where we discuss sports topics from a business perspective. I'm your host, Edward Brown. Now, normally I've got a couple of co-hosts, Russell Jackman and Mike McDowd, but I think they're both on assignment today. So we're gonna let them go on their assignments, and Edward Brown will be solo. However, I do have a special guest who I will introduce in the next segment, Robert Cochran, who is doing a documentary series, Boys of Summer, and it's really interesting because it's a hero's journey of love and legacy, and it has to do with his dad, which is going to be really kind of cool to hear his adventures and what was going on with all the various baseball fields. And football season's going to start this week, so that'll be exciting. And in fact, Robert, you know what? Let's introduce you now. Robert Cochran, welcome to Sports Econ 101. You're shaking your head with football. Are you excited about the season coming up?
I am. I mean, I'm a big three sports guy. I'll watch them across the board. I went to school back in the day to try to be one of the ESPN talking heads back when Dan and, the guys were doing it early on. So, I'm a big junkie. So looking forward to this weekend.
But it seems like baseball is probably your first love, isn't it?
Well, it was a growing up point with my dad and a growing up with my hometown, dearly departed Oakland A's, that, the Coliseum was a place where I found out, what it meant to be a fan at that level. One summer, for example, my best friend and I went to 44 games. And where do you have that type of opportunity? I mean, the cost was low, the opportunity was high with the BART train. And we sat out in center field and just became characters along with people listening to Bill and Lon call the game. And, we dreamed of being them up in the booth.
Gotcha. All right. Tell you what, we are going to cut out here for our first break. When we come back, we're going to reintroduce Robert Cochran, and he'll explain all about his Boys of Summer, which we are very familiar with the book. All right, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
Palio Restaurant's been the premier Italian restaurant serving downtown San Francisco since 1990. Palio features fine Italian fare and a Wine Spectator award-winning wine list, so there's no surprise it's been voted best Italian restaurant in the SF Weekly this year. Palio has consistently been voted one of the best restaurants in San Francisco by San Francisco locals. Palio's been in business for over 30 years and recently went through a complete remodel. Our guests can expect to receive the same excellence in food and service that has sustained us for over 30 years in a brand new and more modern space. Our 250-plus seat restaurant includes seating in four distinct spaces, making social distancing while dining easy in our establishment. All precautions are taken by staff to ensure a safe dining experience. Open Monday through Saturdays. Reservations are recommended. Visit paliosf.com to view our menus and make a reservation today.
Voted Best Natural Hot Springs in Calistoga by Travel and Leisure magazine, Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs has been providing wellness, relaxation, and good times since 1952. Rooted in Calistoga's rich history, a new spa garden and outdoor living reveals why Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs is the place to stay. Come visit us in beautiful Calistoga and experience our special mud baths and healing mineral waters. It's no wonder USA Today voted Dr. Wilkinson's Backyard Resort and Mineral Springs as the best wine country hotel. You won't find a more relaxing time than staying in our exquisite rooms and experiencing the awesome spa temperature mineral springs. Call 707-942-4102 or visit drwilkinson.com. That's drwilkinson.com.
The Elk Cove Inn, voted number one of 77 bed and breakfasts in Mendocino County, invites you to explore one of the most romantic boutique hotels on the Northern California coast. This one-of-a-kind ocean view inn is part bed and breakfast, part homestead and sustainable farm. The Elk Cove Inn goes above and beyond to offer a home away from home experience with unpretentious comfort, complete amenities, beautiful gardens and grounds, breakfast in bed, fine dining experience, and a day spa. Be prepared to relax, unwind, and recharge. Our spectacular ocean view rooms and cottages welcome you with a gift basket, champagne, and delicious breakfast. Enjoy the afternoon with a bonfire, wine, cheese, and games. A favorite for romantic getaways, the Elk Cove Inn is also a popular destination for reunions and business gatherings. Go to elkcoveinn.com for reservations. That's elkcoveinn.com.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown, your host. My two co-hosts, Russell Jackman and Mike McDowd, are off on assignment, so I am solo. However, I do have a special guest, Robert Cochran. And Robert, we kind of teased the audience a little bit in the last segment, saying that you were doing kind of a documentary about Boys of Summer. Why don't you go ahead and explain this to us?
So, you know, the title, of course, the famous Roger Kahn book, what that did is put the term into the lexicon, and then Don Henley sings it, and, you know, it's out there. By the time we get around to using it, where our first documentary is 2004, it is the iconic use, not the specific use in that regard. What it is my dad, who was diagnosed with Parkinson's in 2001, and I in 2004, we road tripped 2 months, 20,000 miles to see a game at each of the 30 major league ballparks together. And it was, you know, this dream that dad had set into motion back when I was a student, like I said, at San Diego State, studying sports journalism. And it was just a kind offer on his part that we thought we'd kind of do a little bit at a time. But after a couple ballparks, it just petered out. Life got busy. After his diagnosis, things get pretty serious, and we watch Field of Dreams, and I bawled my eyes out. And in the context of that, I'm like, I can't, Dad, you can't leave the planet without us finishing this dream. So that's what we did for the first documentary in 2004.
Wow, that is amazing. So 2004 was the year that you guys actually went through all the ballparks?
We did, and right in the middle of it too, went to Dyersville because, you know, the thing was the Field of Dreams. Went there and had a catch right on the field, played a pickup game. At the time, we were the first documentary to shoot there. I met Don Lansing, the owner of the place, and his wife, Becky. They couldn't have been more kind. So, you know, the thing was, in 2004, my dad was early onset. You couldn't see much of the Parkinson's progression at that point. And the state of the world, stem cells were all the rage, you know, people saying, we're going to cure this thing within 10 years. So we kind of thought it would be a bump in the road at that time.
Wow. So how you did 30 ballparks within that 1 year, within that season?
2 months. Yeah.
Two months. That's a lot.
20,000 miles. And
if you don't mind me asking, how much did that cost?
Well, here's the deal. The funny thing, one of my gifts to my dad, as it were, was to say, I'm going to take care of this. And, you know, I put my big foot in my mouth without knowing how. But I said, what we're going to do is we're going to do this, you know, working with a nonprofit, and let's get donations. Let's make this a community oriented thing. There was a book by Paul Newman and I think his partner, A.E. Hotchner, Shameless Exploitation for Common Good. And it talked about what a kook he was about getting people out there, you know, the Newman's own brand, right? I was very inspired by that. And I said, I bet we could get people who want to go to the ball game and support a good cause to come out and support us. So we threw tailgates in every community we could, and we had the backing of what was then the National Parkinson Foundation, now called the Parkinson Foundation, gave us their 501c3 letter because we weren't that. And we want, that was our introduction to people, and they would donate, you know, tickets or they would donate, you know, food or whatever. And then we'd repackage that back to the local fans, say, hey, come, you can get a ticket and some tailgate food for $25 a head. And we'd make just enough to get us to the next park. You know, Costco gave us gas cards. We were, you know, people let us stay in their houses along the way. It was, it was quite a community event.
How'd you get the word out?
So, you know, the internet was around, of course, then, but not nearly what it is now. Social media certainly wasn't what it was. But, you know, we used the public boards to let people know. Message boards were a thing for those of us who are old-time internet people. And the A's had just, I think, or I should say SB Nation had just launched their fan sites, and Athletics Nation was one of the early adopters. So we got the word out that way, and we just spread it across, letting people know. And people were dialing into our, you know, my dad and I would write blogs on a daily basis back then. And here's what we're doing. Here's where we are. And, you know, local media picked up on it. We did some TV in places for sure. And it wasn't easy. We never like hit that one big donation and had some bad misses in places, too. But it worked.
Well, in some cases, you could probably go to two games in a day, like Oakland, if they were playing at the same time San Francisco. But usually they wouldn't be playing. That one would be a away game.
So you have what? Chicago, New York, the Bay Area were, I think, the three big marketplaces for that opportunity. We really wanted to. But, you know, when I laid it out, this is again now, I think about 10 years ago, people started putting up ballpark planners, right? This is, you know, a big thing you can do, and they'll help you build your itinerary. I had to print out everybody's schedule, and I laid it out on the floor, and I started like walking. Could I go from here to here? Because you have to be conscious of not wanting to go too many places back and forth. And Montreal was in place back then, so we have, you know, San Diego, Seattle, Miami, and Montreal. And, you know, we did have to circle through the East Coast twice, you know, but started Southwest, excuse me, made it to the Southeast up the Eastern Corridor, and then circled once around the Midwest, back through, and then dropped down and made our way back. So
that's amazing. I had a client one time who, he got well known for playing 50 rounds of golf in 50 days in 50 states. And one time he able to get a he figured out there was this one part, like, you know, we're Colorado and Utah, you know, where he was able to play like two or three rounds of golf in one day and hit all three states because it was you know, within a couple of hours of each other. Kind of cool.
Who was that? I think I've heard of that. Who was that? Who did that?
I want to say, was it Fred Cameron?
I know that name sounds familiar. I mean, I'm always interested, you know, after you do that, you hear about people doing other things and you go, okay, how did you do it? So cool.
I'm trying to remember because I had a bunch of different clients and I don't remember. I think it was him, but I thought I'd have to go back. And because this was like in the late 1990s, I think, is what what he did.
Yeah. But then you're almost more underground back then, right? Because of the internet being smaller at that point, right? And so when you did things, I mean, not that it's cheaper or anything, you know, everything is still a journey, but there's a lot more helpful tools, I'll say, now than there were back then.
Yeah. In fact, one of my softball buddies, it's so funny, he was an oral surgeon. And so you'd think he'd be really careful with his body and his hands, but he'd slide into first base. He was a little Looney Tunes on that, but he ended up, he was a big skier. So what he did was he had this brilliant idea to do the most vertical ski miles in a day. What he would do is he'd ski down and then he paid for a helicopter to fly him up to the top of the mountain and ski down. And he just kept doing that all day. And he was planning on breaking the world record, whatever it was. He had the great idea of calling the San Francisco Giants when they were in Candlestick. And he said, listen, and he did it. He did the world record, and Sports Illustrated was going to put him not on the cover, but, you know, a featured article. And just like you're wearing the A's hat, he was a big Giants fan. So he called the Giants and he said, what will you give me if I wear my Giants hat for the picture, for the photo? And you ready for this? They said, we'll give you season tickets for life.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and when they got transferred over to AT&T Park, Pac-Bell, whatever it's called now, it got transferred over. And they were tickets. Just for that. No, I couldn't believe it.
That makes me want to make something up.
Yeah, I know. And I was thinking, I mean, I couldn't imagine that they'd do something. I thought, I'd give them, a few little, a ticket to a game or something. But that was kind of ridiculous. He was very, very fortunate for that one. Okay, we're going to go to our first commercial break here, and we are in the studio with Robert Cochran, who's talking about the, quote, Boys of Summer, which is interesting. I'm looking at your pamphlet, whatever, the promotional thing. It says third base. Why does it say third base? When we get back, you'll tell us all why it says third base on that. Okay, here's our first trivia question. And if you know the answer, don't say anything quite yet until we get right back and see if you know the answer. How much of the Earth's surface is covered with ice? And we're not talking about the people who take illegal immigrants and put them in the airplanes. We're talking about like ice cubes, ice. All right. Email Edward at sportsecom101.com. The answer to this question, how much of the Earth's surface is covered with ice? Don't touch that dial. Stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. We'll be right back.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624, 800-620-1624, 800-620-1624, that's 800-620-1624.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101 one more time. I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with my special guest, Robert Cochran. And question number one, how much of the Earth's surface is covered with ice? What do you think, Robert?
So I'm seeing two numbers flash in my mind, and I don't know if it's because it made me think of an icy. I'm thinking 7-Eleven, so I'm going to pick one of those two. I'm just going to go with 7%.
Actually, you know, it's funny. You're closer with the other one. It's actually 10%.
10%.
That's pretty good. Very, very good. I mean, we know the water part is like, you know, 70% or something, but just they covered with ice, right? 10%. All right. So we were teasing the audience just before we went to break about how your it's not a pamphlet. What would you call it? A promotional piece?
Well, yeah. I mean, we have a flyer, but this is, people can see the poster behind me. In the flyer that we send out, right, it says Boys of Summer third base. And as you see here, it's just Boys of Summer, right? The initial. Yeah. So there's three completed films in the documentary series, because the unfortunate truth about Parkinson's is there was no cure within 10 years, as we hoped back when we did that. So people asked for a follow-up, and we did in 2014. We made the second film, and progressively it made sense. Let's follow the base path. Second base. In 2020, we made our third film, and I figured at that point I was going to make five films. So I said, how do I do this with four bases? We'll just mention shortstop. So that was our third film. And now we're going to be filming our fourth film, and that's going to be on October 3rd out here in the Bay Area in Pleasant Hill, California. On October 3rd, it'll be third base. And it's a very different kind of film, because this is going to be like a live, almost keynote concert gone crazy type of presentation. It's going to be a lot of fun.
how long is the movie?
So, you know, the first one ran 90 minutes. The second one ran 90. The third one was a little shorter. Shortstop was, I believe, 53. I imagine I'm planning this one to go the full 90. There's plenty to tell. And the plan is to premiere it at the World Parkinson Congress in May 2026 in Phoenix.
How many people do you expect to come to this one on October 3rd?
We've got a 200-seat house, and we'd love to have 201. No, we'll keep it at 199 and make the fire marshal happy. You know, we've got certainly friends and family. We've got local Parkinson's folks. But I want people to know this is really more than Parkinson's, that this is, you know, it's a baseball story. It's a love story between father and son and family. We're going to have songs. We're going to have, that'll be silly sing-along. We're going to have games. I might be shooting candy out into the audience. Improvisation stuff. It'll be very interactive. I like to say somewhere between an Adam Sandler concert and a Pee Wee Herman show. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Well, you know, the thing that's really touching is I just can imagine how close you and your dad.
Yeah.
You know, your relationship.
Well, you know, dad was the one who reached out to me in that era, like I said, you know, when I was an undergrad in college, and we were close, you know, when I was growing up. But that was when he said to me, as a young man professionally, I hear you, I see you, and I want to help propel you. And to this day, I've never forgotten how big of a deal that was for him to show confidence in me, right? And his own origin story has that too. His dad showed confidence in him in many ways, and it helped make him the man he is. So that was his gift to me, was to say and do and back those things. So that was my, you know, gift back to him in 2004 was, I'm going to give you this trip for us. And I certainly didn't imagine it would continue. I mean, I went back for what I call an accidental PhD degree in 2019, because by that point I'd done so much work in the Parkinson's field. I said, in order to do what I need to do, I need a degree, one doctor told me. And we found a discipline that worked where I was living down in Las Vegas, and I got a PhD. It was not easy, but you know, it's changed the course of what we're doing.
Wow. Is your dad still around?
He is, and he'll be there on October 3rd. I mean, 25 years into his diagnosis, look, the reality of Parkinson's is it's rough. Yes, he's wheelchair-bound at this point, but does the guy like to have fun? Does he love music? Does he love people? Yeah. And, you know, one thing in Parkinson's, people get lost in the disease. They become sometimes think they are the disease, which is something we have to fight against, right? And maybe loved ones, people who mean well, even friends, start to disassociate or back off and go, I don't know what to say. And it's like, you know what you say? You say, I love you. You say, hey, you want to play a game of cards? You say, you want to go to the movies? You know, yeah, some things are more difficult, but that's still a man there. That's still a friend. That's still a loved one who loves engagement. And you know what? On this night, for people to come out and see what he's done and what he's still doing and celebrate and boy, we, like I said, with the laughter, we've got some tearjerker moments. It's going to be a great night. I hope people will come.
How old is he?
Dad is 81. So he was diagnosed at 57, which was considered early onset.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we have a friend who I think, she's maybe not even 60. And actually, in her case, it's not Parkinson's. It's Alzheimer's. That she's been slowly, you know, they started noticing it on that. What was your favorite baseball park?
So the easy answer there, Dad and I said it at the same time, the first time we got asked, and do ever since, is Fenway. And I know it's cliche, but that place just reeks history. And my Dad and I are both, I guess, in that sense, kind of traditionalist fans. We got to see a lot of the newer ballparks in that era, 2004. Camden had set the bar, right, for the new old one, and Camden was great. There were some parks that were less successful with their rebuilds, and, you know, but I got to say that Fenway, it's not just the park, but the surrounding area, the fans are insane. The architecture of PNC in Pittsburgh, beautiful, and then San Francisco, wonderful. San Diego steals the show if you're going for food. Oh, my God, San Diego Petco.
Is that right? Yeah, I heard. Was it Kansas City's got pretty good food too? I think someone told me that.
We didn't eat a lot inside because their barbecue outside was so good. They threw a tailgate for us at Kaufman.
Well, and Kaufman's really traditional. I mean, because even like San Francisco, it gets really expensive. So,
here's the thing.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, when you have an inn, it helps you really enjoy what's there. We had one experience in shortstop where the executive chef of Petco invited us to come so I could bring my son to the game because he'd never been. And he had us eat at, I think, 9 different stations in 6 innings. He took us through, paid for it all. And I mean, that was, it was almost gross. It was so good. So yes, that's a different deal. We paid for that. It would be his college fund.
That's great. And Fenway, they still do the manual putting up the numbers, don't they?
They do. The Green Monster still has that there. In fact, the year we were there, 2004, was the first year they let you sit on top of the Green Monster. And we got that wonderfully privileged point of view to be up there and look down at the game. You know, we saw it from a couple angles, but God, that was neat to be up on the Green Monster and watch the game from there.
So for regular games, did you get good seats or just go bleacher? Or where did you sit generally?
You know, most teams, almost every team was really good about wanting to show off their park. And they were really kind to us and often would give us access. We got into dugouts. We got to meet a few players here and there. Most teams were great. You know, in 30, they're all busy. It's not like the world's all about us. Some of them were like, yeah, sure, whatever. And, you know, and that's no mark on them. They get pulled in all kinds of directions. Sure. So, but for the most part, I mean, I guess the fact that we were in the parks at all, most of them were new to us. I think we had seen probably 5 or 6 of the parks at that point. So to have the bulk of them be new, we were just happy to be in and take in whatever it meant and talk to the local fans was a lot of fun.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, I remember I had to go to Houston one time, and we took in an Astros game when the Astrodome was there. Was still the Astrodome, and so that was kind of cool because I'd never been in a dome stadium, and it was great, you know, because you know Houston, especially in May, gets a little just a little warm. I got to think that in 30 games, you must have seen some pretty exciting games. Some of them probably a little boring, but some probably really exciting.
We did. We saw some good games that came down to the end. And, you know, off the top of my head, those don't stick as much as the weird one was in Montreal. It was their last season. And it was one of those games that was such a blowout between the Mets and the Expos that the Mets throw out their shortstop to start throwing. And you know, we saw the game. I believe it was like 20 to, you know, 5 or something like that. It was a weird game. The whole thing, you talk about a weird dome. That was the old Olympic, right? And I mean, it was just a great. Their 5,000 to 6,000 fans were very passionate. Those French Canadians were very sorry to see him go.
I bet. You know, it's interesting you mentioned Fenway. My dad, even though he was a big Brooklyn Dodgers fan because he lived in Brooklyn, he loved Ted Williams. I don't think he ever got to see him. He didn't go to – he never got to go to Fenway. I'm sure he didn't. But also thinking about it, he hated the Yankees. So I don't know if he ever got to actually see Ted Williams play because, you know, except for on TV. Because, you know, I mean, back then they didn't really have the National Play of the American, did they? Till the World Series.
No. Right. Yeah, you had to have that matchup in order to make it happen. So, yeah, a different era.
I was kind of glad. I was a big Mets fan, and that was the first time that they had the Mets play the Cubs to get into the World Series. So that was pretty cool. Anyway, we're going to go to our second trivia question here. This time we have an animal question. In fact, the next one's an animal question, too. Which animals eat with their heads positioned upside down? That's our trivia question. Email Edward at sportsecon101.com the answer to this question. Which animals eat with their heads positioned upside down? All right, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101 with Edward Brown and my special guest, Robert Cochran. My boys of summer, Mike McDowd and Russell Jackman are off on assignment today. But stay with us. We're talking about the boys of summer, a special tribute with Robert Cochran for he and his dad. Don't touch that dial.
At the heart of San Francisco lies the Axiom Hotel. Located in the heart of Union Square, the Axiom Hotel blends a sense of history with modern touches. Our spacious accommodations are comfortable and created with a soft ambiance. With state-of-the-art amenities such as a core fitness center and in-room espresso and coffee. Guest reviews rave about the staff, as well as how quiet the hotel is. So you can get a good night's sleep and rest up for a day of shopping at the best stores San Francisco has to offer. Just steps from the Powell Street cable car turnaround, the Axiom Hotel is ideal for exploring downtown San Francisco. Check out axiomhotel.com for our specials and vacation packages and book online today. That's axiomhotel.com or call 415-392-9466. That's 415-392-9466. The Axiom Hotel San Francisco.
Mountain Mike's Pizza. You've heard our phrase, pizza the way it ought to be. But did you know that our famous pepperoni large pizza has over 100 pieces of pepperoni on it? Our dough and shredded cheese are made fresh daily, never frozen. Having a party? We have a great room for parties and a video arcade with tickets and prizes for kids, located at 2100 4th Street in San Rafael. You'll enjoy your pizza the way it ought to be. Call us at 415-454-4300. That's Mountain Mike's Pizza in San Rafael.
Extreme heat is a leading cause of weather-related deaths in the United States. With summer here, the American Red Cross is urging you to take action to protect yourself and loved ones. Stay hydrated by drinking plenty of water, even if you don't feel thirsty. Aim for a cup of water every 20 minutes and avoid drinks with sugar, caffeine, or alcohol. Check your urine color. Dark yellow means drink more water. Stay cool by spending time in air-conditioned places. If your home is too hot, go to a mall, library, or cooling center, or take cool showers or baths. Wear lightweight, loose-fitting clothes in light colors and avoid strenuous activities when it's hottest outside. Stay connected by checking on others and asking for help. Talk to your doctor if you have a chronic condition or take medicine. And remember, don't leave children or pets in a parked car. Extreme heat is too dangerous to be invisible. Remember, stay hydrated, stay cool, stay connected. To learn more, visit redcross.org/heatcheck. Sponsored by the American Red Cross.
Lowe's knows hot deals help you get the most out of summer. Get up to 30% off select major appliances and get it delivered as soon as next day. Plus, get up to 30% off select patio furniture, grills, outdoor power equipment, and more. These end-of-season savings won't last long. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/30. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Valid on eligible in-stock orders in select locations. Price, delivery time, and vehicle availability may vary based on order size and location. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com/delivery for more details.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown, along with Robert Cochran, my special guest. Second trivia question, which animals eat with their heads positioned upside down? What do you think, Robert?
So, I want to make sure I heard you right. Did you say animals? Is this plural? There's more than one?
Well, I'm only looking for one.
Okay,
one animal.
I've got a good guess at one. How about the sloth?
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about that one, but that's not the answer we were looking for.
Ostrich?
No, that was another good one. Okay. The other one I was thinking of was a bat because they're upside down. Oh. But they no way. No, it's a flamingo.
Oh, because because they get the
shape of their neck. Yeah, because the way their neck is and all that.
Okay.
All right. So, that other voice you heard, because I'm Edward Brown, is Robert Cochran. We're talking about the Boys of Summer. It's a hero's journey of love and legacy, where you went to 30. It took you 60 days to go take in 30 ball games with you and your dad. Special thing situation because he was starting to suffer from Alzheimer's. And then you wanted to bring the money ball aspect of this. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the thing is, Dad and I, growing up, he's a municipal bond trader. That's his background and his work, right? So finance is kind of a large number of our families. I, being on the creative bent, never quite understood. My joke used to be, I don't know what my dad does, but apparently he's the best at it because he's always going to Hawaii for these things. So I remember one of my dad's early teaching things was, you know, the early Black Friday, I believe in 87, and the market, crashed at the time. And the joke in his office was, you know, the market's full of fluctuations. Sometimes it flux down and sometimes it flux up. And he brought to me later on as we tried to kind of get to know each other and understand each other better. We had baseball in the middle of us. Well, lo and behold, Michael Lewis writes this book, Moneyball, right? And the principle that really helped solidify a lot of interesting conversations for Dad and I was undervalued assets. And seeing that through the prism of baseball helped me understand and, you know, appreciate Dad's world more. And I think it helped him explain more of that to me. And sort of as an homage, that's really what my nonprofit, Yes and Exercise, is built on now. The undervalued assets that are the people who are diagnosed with Parkinson's, who can feel in their own lives disposable or less than because of this, you know, chronic challenging disease. We rehabilitate those people through storytelling and improvisation and help them rewrite their personal narrative so they can see a new value in who they are and become contributors in their own lives and in their communities in ways. So that principle of undervalued assets is remarkable and landmark in my life.
Oh, is the nonprofit, is that your full-time job now?
It is. I am CEO and founder of Yes and Exercise, and it is yesandexercise.org. And, you know, since graduating from the PhD, I made these two intervention programs, tested them during the program. I was like, what do you want to do with these? Well, first and foremost, I got to put more testing into them. I thought rather than get a university post right away where I might lose, you know, control of the research, I got to go on my own. And it's been a journey, I'll tell you, to do that. However, the results are fantastic. The participants and the way they come in and the way they see their lives transformed. We've just launched a part of our website we call Success Stories. And this is, once again, the use of storytelling to help people reimagine, reinvigorate, and reclaim their lives. And it's just starting to populate with some of our students. So an exciting thing to check out, these stories that people have written.
How old is your nonprofit?
So we're 2.5 years. We launched officially in January of 2023. Yeah.
Wow.
That's exciting. Yeah, it's funny you mentioned municipal bond broker. When I way, way back and when I was doing a lot of tax work, I started my own business and there were a lot of municipal bond brokers in my building. So I started picking them up as clients to do their tax returns. So I got the and I had my Series 7 securities license. So I kind of, you know, we could talk the same language. So I have you know, it's funny. You don't see too many of those around, though, anymore.
Of the traders, you mean? Or
yeah, the municipal bond brokers. I think because they the spread got, back in the old days, there was a 5% rule. You can't charge more than 5%. Now, I mean, there's no way you'd even make a living because nobody would pay that. It got down to like 1%. Now it's probably even less than that. And so I've been sort of out of that for quite a while. But yeah, you hear stockbrokers and stuff like that. And even then, you know, you've got Schwab and these robo traders and stuff like that. So it's definitely challenge. I've got a friend he's 70. He's still working, and you know, he says it's challenging. You know, because a lot of the people they don't want any kind of fees anymore.
I get that, and you know, it's funny. My dad, his greatest success came through relationship building. Right when he moved out of the corporate structure of what he was doing and into a place where he was basically betting on himself and his relationships more. And the joke from his boss, because again, my dad was so successful with the relationships he built, he said, geez, when anybody farts around this place, Cochran makes money. So that just told you, you know, he was attached to multiple trades because of the relationships he built. Yeah. And to me, that's kind of a lovely life lesson, again, about the value of others, the value of communication and community.
Gotcha. What company did he work for?
So the corporate stuff, he was at Crocker, and then he was at Bank of America, and then he was at a place called First California, all in San Francisco.
Okay. Interesting. I was just kind of curious because
he retired early.
Yeah. Well, probably because of Parkinson's, right?
Partially, but you know what? He did well, God bless him, and his goal was to get done by 50, and he worked on his own. You know, and worked again through these relationships, but you know, he really wanted to play a lot of golf and he did.
So, well, that's the next at baseball. Well, of course he's in a wheelchair now, so it's a little harder to play golf. But back in 2004, he wasn't in the wheelchair. So you're able to go to the games. Gotcha.
Okay. That's correct. Yeah. You know, very ambulatory at that time. I mean, even, and this is a problem for some people with Parkinson's, people saying, do you really have it? And it's such an unfair thing, you know, because it's not, Parkinson's is not just about the motor symptoms. That's a really important thing to understand, that the psychosocial emotional part of it is as much, if not more, of what's going on. And that's a large part of what we're trying to do is get that understanding out into the community.
I was going to say, yeah, educating the public is so important in that. I just, for some reason, I'm thinking, you know, did you have any, like, challenges going to all these ballparks? I'm thinking, what if you went to a game and it got rained out? Did that happen?
Great question. So we put that out there early on because the schedule was so tight. And my mom was she wasn't happy about him being gone for this period because that was the longest they'd been apart. And she did come and flew in and join us a couple times. Okay. But, you know. Yeah, basically, I got a 2-month loan on my dad, like a library book. And if along this path, because, you know, the dates are set to when they're going to be in town as well, we did get rained out, we'd be sunk. Now, we ran into rain in Atlanta, but they were 7 innings in and they were able to finish the game. And I think we had a few sprinkles here and there, some pregame stuff. But I lucked out, frankly, that we didn't get rained out, you know, completely. At least at that time. I mean, in other games, we kind of did other stuff for, we did, but not during that summer.
Okay. And I guess you have to kind of bring all kinds of different clothes with you because you never know if it's going to be hot or cold or, you know, did you go to day and night games?
We sure did. Yeah. You know, right. It's their choice, dealer's choice, not ours. Right. So we went to both and, you know, there weren't a lot of super cold games, but we did camp a fair amount because that was something to save money, but also to see the country in interesting ways. It was fun to camp out in places. And as a matter of fact, Cincinnati, they have a campground right next to their theme park, the Kings Island theme park. And we finagled our way in to say, hey, we're doing this thing. Can we ride the roller coaster? And they let us in just to ride the roller coaster and put it in the movie because the roller coaster metaphor played. So yeah, we talked our way into stuff sometimes.
Dan, did you, I guess you flew everywhere, didn't you?
Yeah. So we, you mean in this trip, did we fly?
Yeah.
Oh, this was all driving. All driving.
All driving. Oh my gosh.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, we averaged 350 miles a day on the road.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, Dad growing up made road trips a very big part of who we were as a family. So to me, it was a blast because that was also a great way to get to know each other even better, right? Listened to a lot of great music, heard some stories about things that, you know, had never heard before. And just, yeah, I mean, it was very generous of him.
Wow. That's so sweet. Did you guys like the same music?
So, you know, growing up, I'd say no. I always liked his music, I would say. In the 80s, I became a big hip hop fan and Dad didn't know what to do with that. So, but I've never lost my love of Dad's really 50s and 60s rock and roll, Motown, that type of thing. And then later on, you know, he loved his Willie and Waylon, the country artists, especially of the 70s and 80s. You know, so we did a lot of stuff. Hey, you can always get together over the Beatles, right? Everyone likes the Beatles.
Sure.
But yeah,
you got a different era because I'm 65. So
yeah.
I'm 65. So I'm probably in between the two of you.
Yeah.
So I think my audience maybe say, wait a minute, I've heard this story before, but, when I was a kid, my dad, because he was born in 1927, you know, he liked Sting and, you know, Glenn Miller type of stuff. Right. And if we go to the store together, you know, he turned that on. I didn't really care for it, you know? And so if he had to go into the store, I'd turn to rock and roll, right?
Sure.
And he'd come out and he'd hear the rock and roll and go, turn that crap off, right? So we have to turn back to that. So the funny thing is you know, because he also liked jazz and that sort of thing. So when my son my son was a drummer and we'd be listening to rock and roll, right? And I'd go out to do something, he would turn it to jazz. And I come back and I go, turn that crap off. So, yeah, unfortunately,
you're not your grandfather.
We would have gotten together really well.
That's funny. Yeah, music has ways of tying us together and also driving us apart if we don't like the style.
Well, no, I definitely would like your dad and I would get along very well with the music because I love so. Motown and you know, then of course the Beatles and all that kind of, and the British Invasion. That was always kind of cool. Love that.
Oh, yeah. He liked it all. You know, became a parrot head later in life. He loved Jimmy Buffett. You know, I mean, yeah, these are all his things.
Well, yeah, he definitely sounded like he had a wide variety, you know, of like a music. So that's kind of fun.
He likes live music. Yeah.
He likes what?
He likes live music. And my sister is actually a player. She's a dueling pianist. And so watching her play is like his all time favorite. So he likes the atmosphere of live music and people getting up and going. He tells the story of seeing Elvis and yeah.
Oh, wow. That's great. I mean, in fact, my earliest memory is when the Beatles came on Ed Sullivan, 1964. I remember it was the talk of the town. All right. Here's our third trivia question. What type of bird can do math as well as a monkey?
Mm-hmm.
What type of bird can do math as well as a monkey? All right, audience, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be back with some closing comments and thoughts for the day. I do have a quick joke here, though. I told my wife she drew her eyebrows too high. She seemed surprised. All right, audience, don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Are you over the age of 50? Want peace of mind and financial security for your family? Here's an important message to you from Senior Care USA. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. That leaves your loved ones the burden of paying your debts and funeral costs. Our plans start as low as $1 per day and will pay your family up to $30,000 to help pay for your funeral and other expenses. There are no medical exams, your rates will never increase, and your plan cannot be canceled, regardless of your medical conditions, as long as you make your premium payments. Get up to $30,000 in final expense insurance. Call now for free information. Just answer a few simple questions and get approved right over the phone in just a few minutes. Call right now.
Call 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. That's 800-399-6879.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Last time for today, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with my special guest, Robert Cochran. Third trivia question, what type of bird can do math as well as a monkey? What do you think?
I'm going to take a guess. My aunt has one of these. Is it an African gray parrot by chance?
I would have thought it was a parrot also. No, it's a pigeon.
Pigeon?
I guess that's what like homing pigeons and stuff like that.
Wow. Well, there you go. Yeah. Okay. Give it up for Mike Tyson.
So Robert, Robert, go ahead and plug your October 3rd event.
Yeah.
Is there a book out also, or is it just strictly film?
So, yeah, the book is regarding my PhD program. It's called Acceptance, and it deals a lot with my dad's and my journey, a hero's journey through Parkinson's and a PhD. That's available on Amazon or via our website, so Acceptance, and you can find that. The movie is playing on October 3rd. It's, you know, like I say, playing. It's going to be a live event. We're actually be filming, so you're not just watching what we're doing. You're going to be part of it. This very special, fun, interactive presentation, October 3rd in Pleasant Hill, California. The information is on our website, bosmovie.com, has all of the Boys of Summer stuff, bosmovie.com.
And your website, is it yesandexercise.com?
So yesandexercise.org is the nonprofit.
Or being a nonprofit.
And they're linked to each other as well. So if you get to one, you can get to the other.
Okay. And if you're ready for our, here's our thoughts of the day. So do twins ever realize that one of them was unplanned? Didn't realize that. Okay. And 100 years ago, everyone had a horse and only the rich had a car. Today, everyone has a car and only the rich have horses.
There you go.
All right, audience, tune in next week to Sports Econ 101. We're going to be discussing sports topics from a business perspective, asking more trivia questions. Thanks for listening. On behalf of our team, I'm your host, Edward Brown. We'll see you next week.
So long.